So then, we're glad to be here tonight. You could be seated. Today, I had somebody that invited me out for a little bit, and I knew that we was going to have a confrontation. I knew what was going on. I thought, but this is the day the Lord has made. And this is the day that you're going to rejoice and be glad. And even though they confronted me, yet the more they confronted me, the more I talked about the revelation and the more hungry they got until finally they lost all opposition and got in and was so glad to hear what I was saying that they left rejoicing. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. It just literally swept them off of their feet. It's kind of like along in this aisle right here when my daughters got up here, there was a girl that began to think now. They ain't got no business up there, you know, along these lines of things. But I thought, now the Lord will just turn you clear around in about 2 or 3 minutes, the anointing struck them and tears began to come down her. You know, she began to turn all the way around and realize that she was leaning to her own understanding. I appreciate the wonderful spirit that you had toward my daughters while they were up here. And the kind of spirit that you have toward my family. I'm working with your family and for your family, trying to get them to see. And I trust that you'll work with mine. I trust that you'll work with mine. Praise God. Now then, if I can get Brother Gary here to step out to my car and hand me my Bible there. I come around without my Bible. This is the Bible that Mike Ingram had given. And it was real allegoric even on this trip that came to me. And on this trip, it was real allegoric. And today we was talking to somebody about the wonderful things of God, and the deep mysteries of God. And this particular day here in Irondale had to do with a great thing last night and today. And of course, this person just come into these things just head over heels. And it's really amazing how that down through the years one can withstand. And then at the very time that God has everything right, then a person can't resist the things of God. So it's a great, wonderful thing. It's a great, wonderful opportunity to be here. Thank you, brother. Last night, I really enjoyed being with you and talking to you about the things of God and preaching here under the tent. Preaching under the tent, we do it a little bit different. I like to teach. I just like to teach. There's something about it that I just like to teach. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. But nevertheless, God has His way in the things that He wants us to do. Let me mention to you again that we're supposed to be with Brother Parnell. I guess David might be by now. Maybe he's got some dates straightened out. Have you, David? Okay, Brother Parnell is supposed to call him and we're supposed to get some dates straightened out. But we are supposed to be in Memphis with Brother John and the brethren on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So then we'd be going back home tomorrow, the good Lord willing. We may have a little problem taking the tent down. It's muddy. Kind of reminds me of the Louisiana meeting when they had to take the white tent down in the mud there. It was really a problem. But we'll be going back up there, and then shortly after that, we'll be going over to Memphis. Perhaps some of you are going over there with us. I hope you will. And I sure hope that some of them will go up to Suffersville to Brother J.T. Parnell's tent there in Suffersville, Kentucky. He's asked us to come up. You know, folks, my heart is enlarged to you. We come here, and of course, I'm just an individual like you, an individual. We communicate, we talk. And when we get through talking, you're still an individual, and I'm still an individual. And naturally speaking, you're still in the world, and I'm still in the world, naturally speaking. But you just can't realize, you that are not spiritual, you cannot realize the great mighty thing that is taking place and that has already taken place are the things that are happening right here with you and with me and with the different ones. I think that's one thing that really tore a brother up today. He was kind of leaning to his own understanding as to the natural side of life, and when we went into the spiritual things and began to talk about them, it tore him up so bad that he completely lost his composure. And when he began to realize what was taking place, instead of resisting it, he just run to try to get in. I mean, when he left, he was still running, trying to get into this. As a matter of fact, I've never heard him back up at any time and begin to ask you questions as to say, what do you know and I don't know. But he did today. He did today. He got to the place today to where he just backed up and he said, I don't know. Said, what is it? Said, you tell me. I've never known him to do that before. But that is the way it is. You know, when God begins to talk, all of a sudden a person begins to realize that they thought they knew something when they didn't know something as they ought to know. Learning all of your life and never coming to the truth and never understanding. So then the great wonderful things are taking place. And I wish we had tonight, as I say so many nights, I wish we had tonight the time to talk with you and to try to explain these things to you. But we don't. We're always limited when we come up here as to a few minutes, as to how long you'll listen at us. You've already been here a while. And as to how long you'll listen, though you reverently would sit here for hours, yet, see, the thing is when the heart is closed up and the ears are closed up, no matter how much you try to talk to people, they still can't seem to receive what you're saying. It's so wonderful. You know, I'm so enthused over the wonderful things of God because I live in them all the time. I live in them all the time, day and night I live in them. And it's so wonderful. I've spent the greater part of my life living in the things of God. And they're so thrilling. And even at this point, even more thrilling than ever before. These things are so rich and so wonderful. There is a world. There is another world. You can live in this world of sadness and sorrow and problems. And or you can live in the other world. And I have a lot of problems. Like I say, everybody has problems. I guess I have as many as anybody. And I know what it is to some extent as to Jesus saying, sorrow acquainted with grief, Paul said, my heart is filled with continual sorrow. All of these things because I'm grieved all the time. All the day long, I'm grieved. Things happen, and I'm grieved. Since I've been here at the tent, I've been grieved already. But still, at the same time, beyond that grief and beyond that problem, there is that world, that great, wonderful world. And that world, my inner man lives in that world. And because of this, as Paul preached, sorrow and grief continual in his heart, yet deep down in his soul, he was so filled with the glories of God and the richness of God, but he lived in another world even to the extent of being caught up into the third heaven. So, being put to death in the flesh, the Bible said Jesus was quickened in the spirit. And he went and preached to the souls in prison that they might be judged according to the judgments of God after the flesh. But yet they should live according to life in the spirit. And you're judged according to the judgments of God as to your flesh, that your flesh might be put to death, that you might be revived in the inner man, that you might live in the Spirit, that you might be alive eternally in the Spirit. And of course, a lot of you don't really understand what I say when I'm speaking of being put to death in the flesh and then being quickened by the Spirit. But unless a seed fall into the ground and die, Paul said, it abideth alone. Therefore, unless it die, it cannot bring forth life. As long as you are in the world, you are of the world. As to the extent that you give yourself to the things of the world. But yet you can be in the world to the extent of being born of God on the inside and still not be of the world. So then you come out of the world as to your inner man, then you are not partakers of the world anymore. So then as to being in the world, in the flesh, then that means that you've got to be put to death. You've got to be put to death. I see Brother Gary back there. I was praying for him last night. Brother Gary, I was praying and I felt God do something for you just like that. I believe Brother David Paul was praying with me and somebody else. Anyway, it was two or three of us praying for you. And I just felt God do something all of a sudden. So then we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Now, see, when you go to preach and really try to teach people who have their understanding open, you people have your understanding open. And because of this, my heart is enlarged to you. I just long to pour my heart out to you to tell you the wonderful hidden mysteries of Christ. Whereas if you preach to the average congregation, you can preach a little message to them. And that's about all that they receive because that's all they can understand. They're like little babies. They're just desiring the sincere milk of the word. And I've got people here that's in the audience. They're like that. I could preach all night long and they'd hardly get anything because they're just little babes. And yet they're just as eager to hear as anybody else. But it's on the level that you find them as to how you can minister to them. A little bitty baby, all you can do is stick a bottle in its mouth and let it nurse on the milk a little bit. That's all you can do. The Bible said to feed my lambs. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And he spoke of the milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. And so then you come to the milk of the word, and that's all that you can get a hold of. See, no matter how much you try, that's all you can get a hold of, because that's your age. That's your age, and that's your level of life. But then there are others that have grown up that get more than the milk of the word. They are beginning to feed just a little bit off of something that is a little stronger. Sometimes baby food, as we say. And then some gets a little older, and they feed off of a little bit more. And then after a while, you get to where you are full of age. The Bible said, them that are full of age, the meat belongs to the strong. Them that are full of age, them who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. After a while, you get to a place to where you can actually discern between good and evil, and your thoughts are power of discernment. And then when you do this, then you begin to partake of the meat. For the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern good between good and evil. So we exercise our senses. Sometimes we might stay all day long in our room or in the house to exercise our senses in the things of God, to communicate with God, to read the Bible, or to try to understand the Word of God, or to communicate with Him to where He can give us the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. And then a lot of times there's people that don't do that. There's people that spend their time all day buying and selling or going or listening to something you know or talking with one another or making communications as to laughing and talking and frolics and the things of the world. As a consequence of that, they don't exercise their senses in the things of God, and they don't grow up into the things of God to where they can have the meat. For as I say again, the meat is for the strong. And because they've never come to the meat, then they're real weak. You have to watch after them like parents in the gospel. You have to keep working with them. A person may be full of age, naturally speaking, and still not full of age, spiritually speaking. Whereas a person might be full of age, spiritually speaking, and not full of age, naturally speaking. But at any rate, there is a great, wonderful thing that is taking place, and it is joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. It was like I was telling a brother today, the problems of your body, the problems of your mind, the problems of your flesh, the problems that you encounter in this life, if it wasn't for those problems, if you get to the place to where I am at in some things, you couldn't stay in this world. You just couldn't stay in this world, because even today when I was talking to the brother with all of my problems and pressures and all the other things, I literally felt like I'd clear come slap out of my body and just go away. And this really happened because Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but I was caught up to the third heaven. And so then sometimes it's like you will literally come out of your body in spite of all of your efforts, you know, to retain your composure or whatever, you still feel like you're going to get out of the body and go. And God allows all of these things as to depression and problem to keep us here in this world that we might minister to the other people. And Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better, but it's more needful for me to be here in this world as to minister to you, as to help you and help you with your faith. And so then God keeps us for that purpose. But at the same time, this is a great, wonderful thing. And it cannot be told in words. You know, somebody said, better felt than said. It has to be said, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. But at the same time, it is hard to express. It is utterly impossible to express this thing in a word as to terminology. But it is a true fact that when the Spirit begins to speak, when God begins to speak, that if you listen and give the more earnest heed to the things that you're hearing, that God will take you into another dimension and into another world, and you'll find yourself in a world that you won't want to come out of. You won't want to come out of it. I've had this to become so great, as I've said to you in the past, that I didn't want to be with my wife, I didn't want to be with my children, I didn't want to be with my parents, I didn't want to be with anybody. I just wanted to be by myself with God. That happened to men like Elijah. That happened to men like Moses. Moses was married, but he went away to stay by himself. He'd just be right by himself because he got so caught away in the other world, and he saw the things of the world. Of the world, they were so great and so fascinating that he didn't want any more of this world. He didn't care about this world anymore. Those things were so much greater. As Paul said, being caught up into the third heaven, he spoke of these things. He said, as to the beggarly elements of the world. As to the beggarly elements of the world. When you see these other things and see how great and how mighty they are, then you realize that the things of the world are nothing but beggarly elements of the world. And you lose sight of them and you don't want any part of them anymore. All right, we're going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. This is the faith chapter, as someone has said. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he had received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than their treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in caves, and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are so, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. So we see here a wonderful lesson as to what we call faith. And it said these all died in the faith, not having received the promise. These died in the faith, not having received the promise. That is to say, those that was before Calvary died in the faith. They died in the faith, not having received the promise. Well, the Bible said they without us could not be made perfect, and that God had reserved something better for you and I. We are those that have entered into that which is better. We have a better thing than they had. We are on this side of Calvary, and tonight I could go into this. I'd have to stay here practically all night long to be able to get into this, to explain it to you, or to bring out the wonderful treasures of the beautiful revelation of the Son of God. But I have to just move about, say a few little things to try to exhort you, encourage you, and inspire you. And this was what I was speaking of last night. They without us could not be made perfect. I was speaking unto you last night of being made perfect. We are they that are on this side of Calvary, which means that we have the opportunity to be made perfect. We are those that have the opportunity to be made perfect. They didn't have the opportunity to be made perfect. But the Bible said, and they that coming unto this thing as through the blood of bulls and goats that cometh thereunto could never be made perfect. Even today Israel is searching for the kalah paradamah, so far as we that which we refer to as the ashes of the red heifer. The reason is because they cannot find their sanctification. They cannot find their perfection. And as I said to the rabbi when we was there at the Solomon Hotel over in Israel, I said, Rabbi, I said, how is it that you get forgiveness for sins? He said, we just ask God. I said, Rabbi, you know better than that. I said, how can you say that all you have to do is go to God when your own teachings and your own Bible says that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood? And so it tore him up real bad. I said, you know what you need? I said, you need the blood of the Lamb. I said, that's what you need. I said, Jesus came, he shed the blood that you might believe in God and have the atonement of blood that you might ask forgiveness, and then God would forgive your sins. And of course, he was just tore up when he left. See, because they without us could not be made perfect. There was nothing that had been brought about in their life that was perfect. There was no animal that had been offered up as a perfection, because this thing was not the sin of an animal. It was the sin of a human being. And therefore, that means that there had to be a human being that would be offered to God. There had to be a human body that would be offered to God. For bloods of bulls and goats, that could never do us any good, because it was a human being that sinned. Sin had come to the human being, and within the bloodstream of the human being there was sin. And God had to eradicate that. God had to change that. And as I say, it would take so long to talk to you tonight about the revelation of the Lord Jesus, how that life was lost and how that life must be found. Life has been lost. In that life has been lost and life must be found. There is the way that life was lost. And because life was lost, then life must be recovered and life must be found. I cannot go into it tonight. I wish I could. But life has been lost. God has revealed it to me as to how life was lost. And God has revealed it to me as to how life must be found. There is, you know, God's things are not just some sporadic sort of a thing, a hit and a miss, and a maybe, and I hope so. But there is a specific manner in which God works. There is a continuity of the actions of God even from the beginning of the foundation of the world. And everything that God does is so perfectly in order that it is just absolutely astounding. He knows that we're but babes, we're but little children. And so he just says to us, he said, all I want you to do is just believe. If you'll just believe, that's all you've got to do, because he knows that the mystery of God is so great. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. And he knows that the mystery of God is so great that you'll never be able to latch on to it unless there is just those that especially move into God, those that especially make it their lifestyle to seek God. There are some, there are very few of men and women throughout the entire world or the history of the world that has made themselves to become just something special for God. But nevertheless, there are a few that have done it. And the few that have done it, they've experienced this great thing. Like Elijah, he chose to be away from the people. He did not want to be with the people. He found something so great that it was just so fascinating that he just stayed by himself all the time. And he experienced this great world, and he communicated with the angels and communicated with this world, and God talked with him. And then all of a sudden there came down at a certain time the chariot of fire and the horses, the prancing and horses that was pulling the chariot, and Elijah stepped on board the chariot and just went away like that. And as Paul gave his life to God, all he wanted to do was live for God. And he got so into the great things of God that he was caught up into the third heaven. And finally, Paul just went away to be with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him, because he walked with God. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, you can get to the place to where you love God so much that you just don't want anything but God. You don't care about anything. It isn't that you're lacking anything. God gives you everything that you want. You know, because the whole world belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. And God will take care of you physically, spiritually, financially. He will give you the desires of your heart, and yet you don't desire any of that. Because God is the desire of your heart. I said the other night, the man that wrote the song, I Have a Desire, I said, folks, I have a desire. And my desire is that I desire to do always the things that please the Heavenly Father. This is my desire within my heart. I don't have any desire in the world or the things of the world. I have a desire to be like Christ, and I have a desire to please God, to go where God wants me to go, to do what God wants me to do, to say the things that God wants me to say, and that's the only desire I have. I don't have any other ambition. All of my ambition is gone away from me, except those things that are necessitated as to life, as to these things as we go along through life that demands that we are partakers of these things. All right, so then we are they that have come to a special thing. I am not as one that has come to the mouth that burned with fire. Paul spoke of this. There is a thing where the mountain literally burned with fire and the mountain trembled. And the sight was so exceedingly terrible that Moses said, I did quake. I trembled at this great sight. But we have not come to this mountain that burned with fire and with smoke. We've not come to that, but we've come to the Mount of the Living God. We've come to the Church of the Living God. We've come to the Assembly of the Firstborn, of those who have their names written down in heaven. We've come to that which is perfect, where the Bible said, and the spirit of just men are made perfect. This is what we've come to. We've come to mercy. We've come to the blessings of God. Why is it that the world don't come out here and follow this? Why is it that millions of people don't get behind this? Because they don't see it. They don't understand it. The Bible said, and when good cometh, they shall not see. They don't see this. They don't understand this. How can they follow this? For the Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh, and that the Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see, even their eyes of understanding that they cannot understand. Again, I say, Jesus, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, why is it that you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they don't understand what you're talking about? He said, because it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But now, if it is not given unto them, then why preach the mysteries of God? Have you ever said, well, Lord, if it's not given unto the people to know the mysteries of God, what are you wasting your time for? Why are you preaching the mysteries of God? But see, he didn't say it wasn't given unto mankind to know it. He said it just wasn't given unto them to know the mysteries of God. Why wasn't it given unto them to know the mysteries of God? Because if they'd have known the mysteries of God, they'd been translated and they would have not seen death. And so then it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of God. It is given unto them that the gospel be preached unto every creature throughout all of the world, so that they'll be guilty before God of the day of judgment in that they refuse to serve God. But it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of God, but unto us it is given to know the mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. It is given unto us to know the mysteries of God. And that's why that we should apply ourselves, and that's why we should spend more time trying to get into the mysteries of Christ. You know, we shouldn't go through the church ritualistics as coming to church for just an hour or so and then letting that be it. We shouldn't do that, folks, because we are the children of the living God. Let me ask you a question. Tonight, if you had a gold mine out here and you could have all the gold you could dig out of it, would you spend an hour a day digging gold? Would you spend an hour a day digging gold? Why, you'd dig all the gold you could. You'd spend all day long out there. You'd get Brother Pike. You'd get everybody you could. You'd hire everyone that you could so that you could dig more gold and more gold. And you wouldn't even want to go to sleep at night. Just buckets of gold. You just want to keep it coming. See, how is it that if this thing is as great as we say that it is, and if it's for you as we say that it is, how is it that you don't get into this thing just head over heels? How is it that you're not fasting and praying and studying night and day and trying to communicate one with another and trying to get together to where you just spend your time always in the things of God? How is it that you don't do that when you say that you believe this great, wonderful thing that I'm speaking of, even the heavenly treasure in earthen vessels? If you would do that for earthly treasure as to gold, what should you do when it comes to heavenly treasure? Do you really believe that this is heavenly treasure that now is made known unto the church, the manifold wisdom of God? Do you believe it's the heavenly treasure? Why is it then that we don't apply ourselves more to get into these things and do the things that God wants us to do? Folks, there is something that is wrong. There is something that is missing. There is something that is missing. There is something that you're not seeing. There's something that you're not getting a hold of. Now, I know that coming out here tonight, understand, that's good. You come out here and you wade through the mud, which proves that you must have something from God. You wouldn't do that if you didn't have something from God. But folks, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. We need to apply ourselves, and I'm just exhorting you as one that loves you tonight. We need to apply ourselves and get into the wonderful knowledge of God, into the understanding of God, and get away from the world and cut loose from the world and relatives and friends and the gullible desires of the world and the practices of the world, and get into this thing head over heel, because we are the bride of Christ and the church of the living God, and God is wanting us to get in close to Him, because a man wants fellowship with his wife. If he loves his wife, he wants fellowship with his wife. And God wants to bring his bride in close to where they can have that perfect fellowship. So we need to get in together. We need to not just be church members that live in a community somewhere, or just be people that follow maybe to a tent revival occasionally,
But we need to make this our lifestyle. We need to get head over heels in what we're doing and put our heart and our mind into it. So I say again, in that the mysteries are so exceedingly great, God says to you and God says to me, just believe, just believe. Just have faith. Just have faith. That's all you got to do is just have faith. When the preacher preaches to you, you're listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And you listen to the Word of God and you just have faith. Just keep your mind on God. Keep your mind in faith and everything will be all right. So then God says to you and God says to me that all we have to do is believe. But He does tell us that we have to contend for that faith. It's not just going to be given to you. Yes, I believe, Brother Pike. Naturally, perhaps you do. But contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, when you say contend, I say this so often, two boxers gets into the rings, two wrestlers, they get into the ring and they're contending for the belt. They're contending for the prize. They're contending for the money that's going to be got out of this bout. They are contending. They're fighting with one another. They're wrestling with one another because they know that there's a great prize that's going to be given to the winner. So then God is expecting us to contend. We're fighting with the devil. We're not wrestling against one another. You need to stop this little foolishness as children where you pout with one another and you fight with one another and you're over here in your room and you're just chopping somebody up over here and you're all upset and you're all tore up. You know, over here in your room, you're just a tore up. Why, that old hypocrite, that old hussy, that old feller, that old thing over yonder, and they're over there saying, that old hussy, that old thing over yonder, and the devil's got this one and the devil's got that one, and both of them is talking about the old hussy, and the old hussy is the one they need to get rid of to repent of their sins, get rid of the hussy, and be born again and begin to talk about the things of God and let their mind be filled with the things of God and filled with the goodness of God to where they can just get into this thing head over heels. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm speaking of talking about or doing the things of God and talking about the things of God. So we need to come together. Not just as tonight, but I ask you the question again. What are you going to do about these great mysteries of God? Do you already know them? Do you already understand them? The Bible said, great is the mystery of God if you already understand them. Someone would say, well, I already understand them, Brother Pike, and that's the reason that I don't have to bother with all this that you're talking about. I got to get out and make me some money, and I got to get out and get all these things because I already understand that part of it. I'll tell you what, if you understood this part of it, you never would bother with the other part. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, if you understood this part of it, you'd never bother with the other part. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how am I going to make a living? I'm talking about faith tonight. Now, the Bible said, by faith. How am I going to make a living, Brother Pike, if I don't get out there and do all these things? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to eat? Well, I've got the feeling, this is my conviction, I've got the feeling that if somebody can command the sun and command the moon and command the stars, that it wouldn't be no trouble to get a loaf of bread. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Through the wilderness, not one time did their feet ever swell. God, they never did have any problems. They never did give out. Like the little widow, a meal barrel never did give out. The crucible oil, it never did run dry because they had faith in God. I read to you tonight to where it said, and they had faith in God. The elders obtained a good report because they had faith in God. What does faith have to do with you and I when it comes to making a living? The Bible said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. How many of you are seeking God and His righteousness? Seek God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Isn't that right? Seek the Lord and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God's righteousness? If you do that, then you won't have any problem. All of the natural things will come to you. God will provide for you. You'll have everything that your heart can desire. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then you're telling me that I need to quit my job. And sure enough, somebody quits their job. And then when they get hungry, they say, it don't work. It don't work. I'm not telling you to quit working. I'm telling you to go to work is what I want you to do. Not to quit work. I'm just saying change jobs, that's all. You know, it's not a matter of quitting work. It's a matter of changing jobs. When God went out to get Peter, Jesus said, Peter, said, lovest thou me more than all of these? Then I got another job for you. I'm your new employer. I got another job for you. He quit fishing, but he didn't retire. He quit fishing and he went to work on another job. You know, this is the question that God asked me, and I'm going to ask you tonight. You say, Lord, I love you, and Lord, I want to follow you, and Lord, I want to do the things that please you. But the thing is, the question comes up like this. I say unto you, do you love me more than all of these? Jesus said, do you love me more than all of these? You say, all of what, Brother Pike? All of your money-making schemes. Do you love me more than all of these? All of who? All of your wife, all of your family, all of your children. Do you love me more than all of your friends? Do you love me more than all of your ambitions? Do you love me more than TV and magazines and newspapers and sports and the things of the world? Do you love me more than all of these? Do you love me more than just to frolic around and buy in the vain jingles of the world, listening to that, buying and selling and trying to heap up the things of the world? Do you love me more than all of this, Jesus said? Do you love me more than your ambitions in life of trying to show your body off, man and woman alike, trying to show your face off? Trying to show your intelligence, trying to project your abilities, trying to have a position in life, trying to have a career in life, trying to have the refiners of life. Do you love me more than all of these? If you do, he said, then I've got a job for you. I want you to feed my sheep. He said, Peter, if you love me more than all of these things, of your ambition and the things that you're doing, he said, then follow me. Follow me, Peter. Follow me. If you love me more than all of these, then follow me and feed my lambs, Peter. Feed my lambs. He said, Peter, do you love me more than all of these? Peter said, of course. He said, do you love me, Peter, more than all of these? He said, why, yes. He said, Peter, do you love me better than all of this? He said, God said, you know. Peter done got so frustrated, he couldn't understand it. Here Jesus just kept asking him. He kept telling me he did. And Jesus just kept asking him. See, I'm doing you the same way. I say, do you love the Lord more than all of these? You say, of course I do, Brother Pike. But if you do, why don't you do what God tells you to do? See, if I love the Lord more than all of these, why is it that I don't do the things that please God and give my whole heart and mind to the things of God? So that I can prove to God I love Him more than all of these. But you know what we do? Every one of us runs to our own house. We do our own thing. We look to our own quarter for our own gain. And we let the house of God lay waste. That's where the problem is. Do you love God more than to get up in the morning and just frolic and fuss and go about here and there doing the things of the world, just riding and eating and drinking? Do you love God more than that? Do you love God more than the routine of just getting up on Monday morning, going to your job, trying to make money? You say, well, what's wrong with this, Brother Pike? There's nothing wrong with it. If you're doing these things as a ministry unto God, or you're doing this as unto the Lord, no matter what you're doing, it's right. If it is honorable in the sight of God. So then, I'm not telling you not to do that, but many of you are not doing that. There's numbers of you that's sitting right here under the tent tonight. I know for sure that you're not doing that. I know that your minds from day to day is not on God. They're not on spiritual things. They're not on holy things. They're not on God things. And you just come and go. You know why you'll be here, your mind to be upon the things of God. And the next thing I know, your mind will be somewhere else, even preaching to you here. I can be preaching to you here, and 1 minute your mind will be on the things of God. The next minute your mind will be on something else. Your mind will be here under the tent. The next time your mind will be out yonder somewhere. See, and the Bible said we serve God with our mind, and we're to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus. That is, we're not supposed to be God-minded 1 minute and worldly-minded the next minute. That's not what God wants. So then, Lovest thou me more than all of these things? He said, Lord, you know. You know. So that I'm saying to you tonight that if I really have faith in what I've heard, if I really have faith in the Word of God, if I really have faith in the things of God, I'm going to learn to love God more than all of these things. More than all of these things. I'm going to learn to love God more than all of these things. I'm not going to be carried away with the things of the world. I'm going to have God on my mind. I'm going to have Christ on my mind. I'm going to have God on my mind in the morning because I am contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I'm contending for that faith. Tonight, I could talk to you about that faith. I could talk to you about the great things of God. I could tell you about this wonder, and it would be so exciting as it was today when I was telling that brother until you'd completely be carried away. But the thing is, why talk to you about that faith when you're not leaving off with the things of the world? You're not even leaving off with the things of the world yet. I preach to you a lot of times, some of you, and you're not leaving off with the things of the world. You're still caught away in the exuberance of life. You're still caught away in the exuberance of having a nice home, of having a nice automobile, of having money in the bank, of having a good business, of having a good income. Folks, I didn't preach that to you. I didn't preach for you to go somewhere to try to get yourself a nice home. I didn't preach to you to go somewhere to try to get yourself a nice automobile. I didn't preach to you that you should get you a nice business and have a good income. When did I ever preach that to you? In the early church, the Bible said they left all that they had. Everything that they had. They even said, we left the wife. We left the families. What is it that you're going to do for us? They left everything. See, I haven't preached to you to go back into the world and to do the things of the world. I preach to you to come out of the world and be a separate people. Not to touch the unclean things and to leave the things of the world alone. Now, if you've got a nice home, that's good if God has added it. If you've got a nice car, that's good if God has added it. If you've got a good income, that's fine if God has added it. But if you went out there after those things and you shortchanged God, and you've took your time away from God, you've shortchanged God to the extent that you've taken your time away from God and now you can't be in the house of God, you can't fast, you can't pray, you can't go, you can't do anything for God because you've got a house to pay for. You've got an automobile to pay for. You can't get with the saints of God. You can't make any sacrifice. It takes everything that you can get to take care of the flesh. If you're in that kind of condition, then you're in bad shape. If you're in that kind of condition, God hasn't given you anything. You went after it and you've got bound hand and feet, and now you can't do anything at all for God. That's where you're at. But if you'll follow God, God will add all of these things, and if you walk upright before God, you will like no good thing. For God will give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in the Lord. See, go after God. Go after God. I don't like any good thing. It doesn't matter what I want in the natural, I have it. God gives it to me. But I didn't go after those things. I loaded my little family up in a car. I stuck a frying pan in the back of the car in the sense that Betty said she had to have one. I took off and we went down the road and we went over the hill and we went into another county. We went into another state. We went into another place. And I prayed and I sought God and I followed God and I followed God. And then all of these things began to follow me and begin to be added unto me. And everything that I could want, everything that I could desire, God just added it and added it and added it. He still adds so much so I don't know what to do with it. See, but my mind is still on God. My desire is still toward God. I left the land of my kindred. I left everything and I went away with God. Following after God. And God has added all of these things unto me. But folks, many of you haven't left anything to go after God. You haven't left anything. You're just following after the things of the world. And you're getting bound more and more and more. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like I'm doing that. I feel like that I'm following after God and God's added all these things. Well, there's one thing about it. Everything that you make, you give it to what you're doing. Everything that you make, you spend it on what you're doing. You spend it on your family. You spend it on you. You spend it on your house.
You spend it on your car. And when it comes to the saints of God getting together to make a sacrifice, the only thing that you put in is your excuse. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the only thing that you put in is your excuse. So then, when it comes to serving God, then folks, we need to follow after Christ. We need to do the things of Christ. We need to get back in and have faith. The elders obtained a good report by faith. When God said, come and let's go out of Egypt, those people were ready. I wonder what's going to happen if I happen to say to you, folks, we're going to move over to the other side of the hill. I wonder how many's going to go with me. I wonder how many's going to go with me. Like I asked my wife the other night, I said, Betty, do you really want to go everywhere I go? Would you like to go everywhere I go? Usually she says yes. But all of a sudden she got to thinking and she said, well, where are you planning to go? Where are you planning to go? Hallelujah. That's the problem. God said, follow me. And we said, well, where are you planning to go? You know, it just depends on where you're planning to go as to whether we're going to follow or not. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you're going to lead us down here in that mud, I'm going to sit in the car. I ain't going to get out. Sister Betty, she kind of plowed somebody's fields about today that somebody come up from a long ways and sat in the car and wouldn't get out. And Betty said, why didn't you get out and come into that tent? She said, well, it was because of the mud. Betty said, well, you know better to get in the mud than anybody else. So then, it depends on where we're heading. But you know, the beautiful thing about Abraham, still talking about faith now, the Bible said, and Abraham sojourned in a strange country. He didn't know where he was going. But the Lord had said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, Abraham, and I'll make a great nation of you. And so he just left his kindred. He didn't look back. He just went with God. And he didn't know where he was going. But the Bible said he sojourned by faith. He sojourned by faith. Folks, this is what I'm speaking of. Do you have faith in God? If you have faith in God, why is it that you're not following these things? Why is it? He said, but I am following, Brother Pike, because you're down here to the tent tonight. That don't mean you follow these things. We go back home, and when we get back home, you're just as non-religious as you can be. You live on the campground, some of you live around there, and you just do all the things that you want to do. From Monday morning until Friday night, you're doing the things that you want to do to make money and to go where you want to. And then if you get a little spare time on the weekend from going over to the restaurant to eat steak or visiting with your relatives or riding around or vacationing or whatever, then you come and you say, Brother Pike, is there something I can do? All week long, from Monday until Friday, all week long, I'm needing somebody to help me. And you don't have time to help me. You don't have time to come out. You're so busy making a dollar. Making a dollar. Somebody said, well, I'm trying to catch up. Well, tell me this. Why is it that you have never caught up? How is it that you've been doing this all of your life and you still ain't caught up? I follow God and God keeps me caught up. If we follow God, God will take care of it. I got a feeling that you're still going to be behind when you go to die. The way some of you are living, you're going to be behind for sure. Because all of your life you hadn't caught up. And there's no reason to think that you're going to catch up in the next little bit before you go. They put you down in a hole. So you're going to be behind. What are you going to do then? Somebody said, well, I can't afford to take a day off. But I got a feeling you will. I got a feeling you will. I got a feeling that you will. So then, what should we do? If you know that you're going to die, if you know that you're going to die, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, my husband, he just doesn't have the time. That's all he's doing. But what when your husband dies? Some of them already that's here, your husband's already died. What if your husband dies? Then what? It's for sure that you'll have to get you another one. You'll have to get you another one and start all over because you're still going to need a husband if you're going to live like that. But did you know God said, I'll be a husband to the widow? Did you know that you can be a widow and God will still take care of you? You can be an orphan and God will still take care of you? But folks, I'll tell you what, if you spend all of your life gullibly And if you bind your husband to where he can't do nothing but feed your belly and labor for you out there to give you the gullible things of the world, God will take him away from you and he'll leave you sitting there for months and numbers of years to where you can't get nothing, to where you won't have nothing, and he'll close up the bowels of compassion of the hearts of the people and they wouldn't take you a loaf of bread over there. That's right. God will actually do it to you. If you do a man like that, if you get him under your control, and a woman can do it, she knows how to do it. If you get him under your control and get him so programmed to where all of his mind can think of is to feed you and make provision for you, the first news you know, God will take him away from you and you'll be left sitting there. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about following God by faith. Now, I'm not screaming at you tonight like I did last night or screaming at you like a wild eagle last night. But I'm not screaming at you like that. I'm trying to tell you that the rapture is close at hand. What you call the rapture, the translation, being down here. If you could have just heard the conversation that I had today with the brother, about 3 to 4 hours, I guess it was, that we talked with him. See, and if you had just heard the conversation today, you would know that we are nigh the door of the kingdom of God. And that the things of God are ready to be ushered in. And many of you are not ready. Many of you are not ready. Numbers of you that are sitting here tonight, I know for sure that you're not ready. Now you tell me that you're ready, but I know that you're not ready. Like the brother I talked to, that brother's not ready. He is not ready. He thinks he's ready. And he's got it in his mind that he's ready, that he's done the things that's necessary, and that he's ready to meet God. If the Lord comes at any time, he's ready. But I know for sure that he's not ready. I know that he's not ready. He said, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. How do you know? Because I'm a minister. When you go to the doctor, the physician knows what's wrong with you. That's why he's there. He's a physician. And I know for sure he's not ready to meet God. And yet, he doesn't have that far to go. He's going to have to do something pretty quick. I speak a lot of times to my wife, to my children, about people that are positive that they are ready to go. And they feel if anything happens to them, that they'll be right in the arms of God. And I know for sure that they're not ready. I know for sure that if they happen to die, they're going into hell. They're going into the lake of fire. And I got people under the tent tonight. This is the condition of you. If something happens, now last night I preached on the wonderful love of God and the securities of Christ Jesus. And I explained to you how great and mighty these things are. But tonight I'm preaching to you. I'm exhorting you a little bit tonight as concerning these things that you are not ready to meet God. Many of you are not ready to meet God. You know, this is why the preacher needs about all night long to preach when he goes to preach a sermon. It's because there is so much involved in the great mysterious ways of God as to differentiate, to cause you to understand what is right and what is not right, and when you are ready and we are not ready. It's so great, it's so mighty, it's so wonderful. But at the same time, there is something that you do have to do. There is something that you do have to do. Not that what you do has anything to do with the righteousness of God, which you receive by faith in God, but in that what you do brings you into a place to make you to where you can come into the things of God. You know, it's like this. You come up to this tent and you ride up in your car out here. Now, there's nothing for you to do as to enjoy the tent meeting, because all you got to do is just sit down here and listen at it. But there's something that you must do to the extent you've got to get out of the car, you've got to walk across the mud, and you've got to come under the tent and take your place under here. And you've got to pay attention. You understand? It has nothing to do with you. So far as the message being delivered, so far as you're receiving the message, so far as you're receiving the blessings of it, only to the extent that there's something that you must do to make yourself available. You must put yourself in a place to be available. There's a lot of people, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes because of the purpose of my heart, I was just going to exhort you a little bit tonight. Tonight's the last night of the meeting. But there's a lot of people that are great celebrities tonight. There's a lot of people that are in great positions tonight. They have great places in the world tonight. And a lot of other people are jealous because they have them. And then there's a man that will live his life. There's a woman that will live her life and she'll never amount to anything. She'll just be, as the world calls, a common housewife, which I think that's the best thing of all. But anyway, she'll never amount to anything in the world. And here's somebody else that's not near as capable as she is. And here they are a celebrity. Here they are an entertainer. Here they are a man that's not near as capable as another. And here he is president, while the other one's out here just barely making a living. See, and we get jealous and we think, now what happened? Isn't but one thing that happened. The other man applied himself. The other man made himself available. The other man went after it, and you didn't. And as a consequence, that man made it while you sat around and you didn't have the faith and confidence to try it. There's people now that's making a lot of money around Bethlehem and different places of the world because they dare to try. They give it a try. They have enough faith and confidence that they'll go out there and try. Another man, he'll just sit at home, and every time he thinks about that, he'll think, well, it won't work anyway. I couldn't do it anyway. They wouldn't let me do it anyway. I don't have the ability anyway. And as a consequence of that, he doesn't have it. But then another man, he goes right ahead, and he says, I think I'll try it. I think I'll do it. I think I'll run for president. You know, and somebody said, that's a joke. Him running for president? And the next thing you know, the joke's in office. That's exactly right. We've seen it happen. The joke is in office. And we who think that we're so great and mighty, we become his servants. We become his servants. So then, faith. Having faith. It takes faith. For you to go out on a job and make a living, it takes believing. You've got to get up. You've got to believe. You've got to go out there. Some people go to work when they're sick and they make a living. Others, when they feel good, they've got so many lines in the street they can't get out there to make a living. But it wouldn't be any trouble for them to make a living. And the other man might be bound around here. I've seen my wife's dad do it. Bound up around here with great wide bandages, a broke rib, going with a regularity to make a living. Working at night. See, going to make a living because it was just in him to do that. Folks, if it ain't in you to serve God, you're never going to serve God. If this thing is not embedded within you, you're never going to do it. You're going to be hungering and thirsting after the things of the world, and all of your plans from morning to night is going to be for the labor that's going to feed your belly because your belly craves it of you. From the early morning to the night, you're going to be thinking about the things of the world, a better car, a better home, frolic, talking, laughing, visiting, doing the things of the world. You're going to be doing that because it's in you to do that. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. It's in you to want to ride. It's in you to want to show yourself off. It's in you to want to do the things of the world. It's in you to want to do the things of the flesh. It's not in you to want to be like God. It's not in you to want to fast and pray. It's not in you to want to study the Bible, to try to understand the Scriptures. It's not in you to get together with the brotherhood and the sisters to get together to talk about Jesus, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That thirst is not in you. That hunger is not in you. That desire is not in you. It's not there. Your desire is altogether different. So then you feed yourself off of TV and you feed yourself off of magazines and you feed yourself all day long as to spending money. And all you can think of is a better way of life as to the natural. And folks, you can believe me when I tell you this, you'll go to hell for it. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh and you'll go to hell for it. All of this Pentecostal way of life and these people that are trying to get to be celebrities and trying to get to be businessmen in the community and trying to have careers and trying to have all these things so they can be what they call a light in their community, that's a bunch of foolishness. That's a bunch of foolishness. Trying to get to be a doctor, trying to be a dentist, trying to get to be a professional man, trying to get to be have a lot of money, trying to get a business, trying to be some kind of celebrity, trying to get in office, trying to do those things. That's not being a light. That has nothing to do with being a light for Christ. But when you start denying yourself, and everybody says, that man's crazy. That woman's clear out of her mind. She's just leaving everything and going after religion. That's when you are a light. That's when you are a light. See, when you begin to go after the things of God and people begin to say, my God, he must be out of his mind. He left a good paying job over here and he's going after that thing over yonder. And then after a while they say, but you know, somehow he manages to get by. I don't know how he does it. He keeps a pretty good car and the man has a pretty good income and he always makes it. Him and his wife gets by. I don't know how he does it. I work, you know, every day and we're behind over here and somehow he seems to stay ahead. I don't know how he does it. He does it by faith in God. It takes faith in God. If you're going to excel, you've got to have faith in God. It takes faith in God. You're not going to do it by your 8 hour a day job. You're going to have faith in God. And if you want to sell your soul, if you want to sell out to the devil, if you want to get away from God, if you want to go out there in the world, if you want to connive, if you want to cheat, if you want to swindle, if you want to do everything that you can to get up in the world, you can do it. Go ahead. But you'll never make it into the kingdom of God. There's a woman sitting here to my left. This is a sermon she don't like, because her husband had fed her belly for so many years and kept her a nice home to live in and kept her a nice way to go. And she's got him trained so she's so afraid I'm going to spoil him that she don't know what to do. And I just about spoiled him a few times. And a few times he almost walked off and left that thing of just taking care of her. And he's almost got his mind on God a few times, and she's been real shaky over the situation, and she's really getting disgusted tonight. She figures I ought to close a little bit ago. But nevertheless, I am not just trying to take up your time and keep you here. I am trying to keep you out of hell. The Bible said, hating the garments that spotted with the flesh and pulling them out of the fire. I am trying to keep you out of the lake of fire tonight. Folks, there's a real, genuine lake of fire. There's a real hell. And the Bible said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You may have the idea that after a while hell's going to go out. You know, there ain't going to be no more problems to it. But the Bible said eternal flames where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And the Lord said, Jacob, thy worm, I'll help thee. He obviously was referring to you and I as the worm as to our first stages. Unless we come out of the cocoon as to the butterfly. See, to be a heavenly creature. And he said, where the worm dieth not, it's going to be tormented in the presence of the angels of God in eternal flames. So, here we are tonight talking about faith in God. If you've got faith in God, then leave off with the things of the world. Leave off with the things of the world. I know some of you are not going to do it, but you need to leave off with the things of the world. I know you're not going to do it. See, but leave off with the things of the world and get your mind on God. Many of you came into this thing to Christ to get away from the world and the things of the world. You had the things of the world, and you left that to get away from the things of the world. But you know what you've done? You've turned back into Egypt in your heart. They come out of Egypt, but the Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased because they turned right back into Egypt in their heart. And many of you have gone right back to the same thing that you came out of. And the ones that haven't gone back to it has turned their hearts back there. And they're looking back there after those things. I told my wife, I said, Betty, let me show you something. I said, there's been somebody that just about wore me to death. Go to Alabama. Go to Alabama. The people of Alabama, they need to be preached to. Go to Alabama. I said, now I'll go to Alabama. I'll preach in Alabama. I said, that fellow won't be there one time unless God undertakes. He hasn't been here one time. I said, you know what it is? I said, he wasn't interested in Alabama. No, the people of Alabama, he was interested in his relatives and the things that he could enjoy in Alabama. That's all he cared about, Alabama. Why isn't he here if he loves Alabama and all the people of Alabama? Why isn't he passing out brochures and tracts and trying to get people out here so that we preach to them? Tell me something, folks. That's what's wrong with the world today. That's what's wrong. I don't mean to scream at you, but that's what's wrong with the world today. So you get excited over those things. I said, where in the world is he at? Well, anyway, you understand what I'm saying. I love you. And I want to try to help you. David Paul, he wants to try to help you. He genuinely loves you. And there's numbers of brethren that love you, numbers of sisters that love you. They're good folks. I preach to you like you all backslid. You know, somebody goes home and says, well, bless God, there's one thing about it. Brother Pike made it clear tonight. Ain't none of them got nothing. Ain't no need of me lining up with them. I think I'll go some other way. Well, that's not what I'm saying. Brother David Paul expressed it. I heard him just before I came up here. The best people in the world. See, I'm just saying that you need to do something. Let's stand together. You need to do something because the thing is getting serious. This place down here has great allegoric meaning. I'm with you. I come down here to talk with you since I've been here. I've tried my best to stay running my house. I haven't went out frolicking. I haven't went out trying to just to eat, drink, and be merry. I try to stay. I usually always do this in my meetings. Whether I'm overseas or wherever, I try to stay right there in my room or somewhere talking to God. Because I love you. If a man is a real preacher, if he's a real pastor, he's really concerned about you. And he'll spend his time talking to God about you. I talk to God about my natural children all the time. And I say to the Lord, what difference does it make if I spend my entire life talking to God about my children, whether spiritual or natural? As long as they're healthy, as long as they're happy, it doesn't matter about my life. My life is secure in Christ. It's taken care of in the Lord Jesus. I just want heaven. I want the things of God. I want that eternal life that comes from God. So then, it doesn't matter if I give my life. A mother gives her life to bring children into the world. A dad gives his life working on a job so that he can provide for those children. I know there's not a whole lot of fathers and mothers in the world today. I realize that. Most of them are laboring for their self. You read the little sign going down the road, you know, it's ho, 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 I'm spending my children's inheritance. And that's true. You know? So we're not spending your inheritance. We're spending our time praying that you might inherit all things. And the Bible said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. This we ought to keep in our mind. Jesus said, I have overcome, and I have sat down in the throne with my Father. That's not just a saying. That's just not something to read in the Bible. He said, I have overcome. He spoke of the end of his life and overcoming. He said, folks, I made it. The Bible said in that he offered up supplication with strong crying, he was heard by God. He said, now I made it. In my lifetime as a man, I kept on till I made it. I made it. He said, and because I overcome, I am set down in the throne with my Father. He said, now Brother Pike, if you can make it. Vince, if you can make it. Brother Ron, if you can make it. Brother Taylor, if you can make it. He said, now if you can make it, and if you overcome the same way that I overcome, you can sit down in the throne with me the same way that I overcome the flesh and sit down in the throne with my Father. Let's give him a hand. I want to overcome, don't you? I want to overcome. I want to overcome. I want to overcome. And the Bible said, they that overcome, I will give to them to eat of the hidden manna. I will give to them to eat of the hidden manna. That's that great, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. That food to eat that you know not of unless you come into that realm and into that world. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I've just exhorted you a little bit tonight. I hope that you've listened real close to these things because these are things that are beneficial to you. Let's sing I Love Him. The last night of the crusade here. And let's just sing together I Love Him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again. I love you. I love you. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus together, and then we're going to try to turn the service over to David Paul. Let's lift our hands just for a moment. Close our eyes. Give me another key. He was there all the time. Can you sing it with me tonight? He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Can you sing it with me again? For he was there all the time.